somber and austere day in our church year. We gather together at noon, the time when our Lord and Savior nearly 2,000 years ago hung on Calvary's cross on our behalf. The hours are shrouded in darkness, but they are not shrouded in silence. Seven times Jesus speaks from the cross, and it is that sevenfold proclamation of Christ that we will reflect upon today in our worship service. Our service will end in silence. You may stay and meditate and pray as long as you like. There will be no invocation or benediction today because our service began last night with our Maundy Thursday celebration and simply continues today. It will continue again this evening, 7:30, for our temporary service of darkness. That service will continue with our Easter vigil, 6 p.m. tomorrow night. And we break our Easter vigil and Easter fast on Sunday morning at the sunrise service at 6 a.m., and then we'll gather for our Easter divine services at 8:30 and 10:30. Check KFOR, that will be broadcasting the 6 a.m. service live, as well as our own radio station, 95.7 FM, across, and many of our services will be carried live on there as well. We pray that God will richly bless us during this special time, especially today, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. A few words on our worship service. The reproaches are an ancient part of our church liturgy, and they are drawn from the book of Lamentations. Following the reproaches, we have the seven words from the cross, and the rhythm will be the same. We'll hear the word from the cross. We'll sing the three verses of hymn 447 that deal with that particular saying or word from the cross. And then we'll hear a brief meditation. And then that cycle will continue for each of the seven words from the cross. We have a hymn of reflection following our meditations. And following the offering, we'll have a hymn of reflection once again. And our service will conclude with the bidding prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift of love this day. Love which prompted you to send your Son, your only Son, to suffer and bleed and die for the sin of the world, for our sin. We thank you for the love of Jesus, which prompted him to sacrifice everything, even his own life, on our behalf. We thank you for the love of the Holy Spirit who points us to Christ and calls us and keeps us in the one true faith. Bless us today as we meditate on the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus. And help us to realize, Heavenly Father, that Good Friday, apart from Easter, is nothing more than a sentimental journey. Help us always to fix our eyes not only on the death of Jesus on Good Friday, but on his glorious resurrection to come. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world.
We stand. Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have raised you up out of the prison house of sin and death, and you have delivered up your Redeemer to be scourged. For I have redeemed you from the house of bondage, and you have nailed your Savior to the cross. O my people, holy Lord God,
holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, lead us not to bitter death. O Lord, have mercy.
Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have conquered all your foes, and you have given me over, and delivered me to those who persecute me. For I have fed you with my word, and refreshed you with living water, and you have given me gall and vinegar to drink, O my people.
Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, allow us not to lose hope in the face of death and hell. O Lord, have mercy.
Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For what more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? My people, is this how you thank your God? O my people, holy Lord God,
holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, keep us steadfast in the true faith. O Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you carried our sins in your own body on the tree so that we might have life. May we and all who remember this day find new life in you now and in the world to come, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus. Amen. There is perhaps one moment in all of Jesus' life where we could excuse him for thinking of himself. If there were one instant where he could be forgiven for focusing on his own pain, his own sorrow, his own suffering, it would be when they stretched out his hands upon the cross and drove home the nails. But it is at that very moment when Jesus is thinking of others. He is thinking of the soldiers. He is thinking of the angry mob. He is thinking of Pilate. He is thinking of you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He speaks these words as he is being crucified. He speaks these words after the crowd demands his innocent death. Father, forgive them. He speaks these words after Pilate is unwilling to set him free. Father, forgive them. He speaks these words after the soldiers brutally beat him, mock him, and force the crown of thorns upon his head. Father, forgive them. He speaks these words as he suffers and dies, not for anything he has done, but for everything you have done. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, but you do. You know who this Jesus is. They are putting to death the very Son of God, the one by whom all things were made. They are God's instruments in offering up the appointed sacrifice. As He gives up His life into death, as He sheds His blood, He is paying the cost necessary to say these words, Father, forgive them. These words cost Him everything, as His life was taken away into death for you, so that He who proclaimed forgiveness to those whose hands placed Him on the cross would win forgiveness for those whose sins put Him there. He remembers you, interceding for you as they drive in the nails, holding you up to His Father at that very moment, and saying to Him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You did not know what you did when you fell into sins as countless as the sand, but on this day, you do. You see what your sins have done. But then you hear from His own lips the forgiveness of all of those sins as He suffers, as He dies, as He pays the price required. All for you. Christ was thinking not of Himself, but of you. As He suffered, as He died. Take heart. He who spoke these words to you was at that very moment paying the price to make them reality. Father, forgive them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
One of the criminals who were hanged railed at Him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourselves, save yourself and us. But the other rebuked Him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
for the lowest criminals in the Roman world. It was a cruel way of putting someone to death, suffering greatly, suffering from pain. It was also something that they made to be a public spectacle as they stripped the persons naked that were put on the cross and placed upon a place that everyone could walk by and see what was happening there. A slow, painful death, one not only of a suffering, but of also of humiliation. And so it is that we see that Romans use this sort of execution as an example to the people around. If you don't obey what we say, this is what is going to happen to you. And so it is that we have to understand what the cross is all about. It was a very cruel thing. For us, it is something more like a decoration or maybe a piece of jewelry. But in the true sense of what we see, what happened 2,000 years ago, it was something that was very horrible. Something that one looked upon it and were horrified by what they saw. And so it is that we see that Jesus was crucified. He was being put to death with the lowest criminals, those whom the Roman world saw as one that they wanted to make an example out of. And so in the midst of that, the crowds were there, and they were ones that jeering at Jesus, mocking him. And Matthew 27 says at the beginning, the criminals on either side of Jesus were also joining in with this mocking and jeering at Jesus. And so we have this from Luke that tells us what eventually happened here. One of the criminals said to him, "Are you the Christ? Save yourself and us." He was one that was joining in with the jeering and mocking of Jesus. "Hey, we're up on this cross and you are the Messiah, the promised one. And why aren't you doing something about this?" And so he was one that was caught up in his sins, one that saw no hope of where he could put his faith and trust in, even though Jesus was right there before him and dying there on the cross as a sacrifice for his sins. On the other side, there was the other criminal, and something else happened here. From one when he started out with jeering and mocking Jesus to one that, well, saw his own pain and suffering, looked upon Jesus, and for some reason, his heart was changed. He knew that, well, he was going to die, and he needed to put his faith and trust in something more than, well, what was going on around them. And so it is that he cries out to the other criminal and says, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due rewards for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And so it is that we see here that he was one that saw that he was a criminal, that he was suffering because of what he had done. The other criminal did also. But Jesus here was an innocent man, innocent one, that was dying upon this cross and one that probably he knew and heard about Jesus and his promise as a Messiah, the one that came from of old. This is the one that you could put his faith and trust in. And so it is that we see that he puts his faith in Jesus. As he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus knew what was in this man's heart by responding, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And so we look upon this scene. Jesus is the perfect, sinless Son of God who came to the world in a world full of sinners. That includes you and I. That we know that we are sinners and that, well, on our own we cannot earn our own salvation. But Jesus came into the world of sinners. He is the one that came to be our Savior. And therefore it is that he is the one that we look upon here on the cross on this Good Friday. And how do we view them? Well, we can be like many people who say, well, they join in with the mockers and those who are jeering Jesus. They look at who they are and their sins and it doesn't matter to them. They find no hope in what Jesus gives. And so it is that you can follow along with this criminal here that rejected Jesus. Here was Jesus as the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And he was one that, well, mocked Jesus, went along with this and found no hope in Jesus. But Jesus still died for his sins. And it is that he rejected what Jesus was giving them, the forgiveness of sins, the life everlasting. Jesus was freely given, and he was one that pushed it aside and says, I don't need it, much like many people continue today. That wonderful gospel message is one that they don't want to hear. It is something to push aside, reject. I don't need that. But on the other side, we see the one criminal who was one that had a changed heart. And he saw in Jesus' death his hope. In some way, he understood that Jesus was the sacrifice for his sins, and that Jesus was earning for him was a true blessing which he could hold on to. And that is that we see also that we can look upon Jesus and his death on the cross there. And it is a great blessing for us, too, that we receive the grace that he has given us as he died on the cross and rose in his victory on Easter Sunday. It is that hope that we hold on to. And that is what we see here as we gather at this Good Friday here, that we look upon such an ugly scene, but we see in it that Jesus came to the world to be our Savior, to bring us forgiveness. And he is the one that gives us the hope that, as he promised that one criminal that had a repentant heart, today you will be with me in paradise. That is the great joy which we have in knowing what Christ has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing.
Terrible sight of the crucifixion. What a terrible sight to see here. But at the foot of the cross, we see that here was the mother of Jesus, Mary, also Salome, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Here are these four women that had followed Jesus. They were there at Jesus' death and saw the terrible thing that was happening to him. And so we see that these four women were ones who had strong faith. Whereas we see the disciples, when Jesus was arrested, they all took off and hid. Except for a disciple here, as John tells us, that it was the disciple whom Jesus loved, and as we understand that to be John himself, was there at the foot of the cross there. And so we see here, in all the midst of the suffering and the pain that is there, and the horrible words that are spoken to Jesus upon the cross, we see Jesus there and looking down upon his mother, and how Jesus had compassion and concern for his mother. at this terrible time, not only see his terrible dying on the cross there, that suffering he was doing, but also in the ancient world where women were totally dependent upon men. And so it is that he knew that if there was no man there to take care of his mother there, well, it would be a terrible situation for her. And so that is why Jesus looks upon the disciple whom he loved, John, and said the words, "Woman, behold your son," and the apostle, "Behold your mother." This is one of the last requests that Jesus makes here before he dies, a request that his mother be taken care of. And so we see Jesus is the one that, well, follows God's law. As we know, the fourth commandment says, "Honor your father and mother." And so Jesus is one that is one who fulfills God's law. Even death on the cross there, that we see that he is one that follows what God has called us to do. And so this is the perfect sinless Son of God who has kept the law perfectly for our sake. And so that he could die on the cross for our sins and give us that hope that is eternal. And so it is that we think about that, the whole concern and compassion and keeping God's law perfectly. It is not something that we are able to do. And so we think about it. Well, we try to do it consciously, to do as God calls us to do, and try to live as perfectly as God calls us to do, but we fall short of the glory of God. And so it is often that when we think about how we can carry things out and do as God calls us to do, we always fall short, but, well, things come in our mind, troubles and things that come up in our lives, and we are not concerned about others and thinking about them and what they may be suffering, and compassion may not come through. We see the difference is that Jesus, even though he was suffering and being killed upon that cross, he still had compassion and concern. Passion and concern for his own mother and for all, that Jesus was one that spoke words of forgiveness from there. And therefore it is the great message we see here that Jesus in his death upon the cross, that he died for us and for our sins, that we know that we cannot follow as God calls us to do, not live perfectly, but in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness. That sacrifice on the cross he made for our sake. And that is what we see and live out in our daily lives as God's people. We live as forgiven people in him, having new life in him, and the joy that we know that we have that everlasting life that he promised us and which he earned for us upon the cross in his victory on Easter. In Jesus' name, amen.
To St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing.
ahead. It was 31 years ago, my first Holy Week of service in the church. I was assigned to preach on Good Friday. When I told the pastor that I was planning on preaching on Matthew 27:46, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said, no. You're too young. You don't have enough experience. You don't know the suffering and the pain and the sorrow that people endure. Wait 10 years. Then you'll be ready. 30 years later, here I stand. And as I share with the vicars, I am often disappointed in what I see. But I am never surprised. Sin is real. The consequences of sin are real. Pain and suffering are real. Heartache is real. Broken homes, broken families, broken congregations. Fear and trembling at the state of the world. Where is God? People cry out. Just last Sunday, here in church, someone came up to me and said, Pastor, can we have a prayer for the poor people in Egypt? Where is God when people go to church on Palm Sunday and crazy people blow them up? Oftentimes, in our head, in our heart, and even on our lips, we wonder, where are you, God? Why have you let this happen? Why don't you do something? Why have you forsaken me? And then we turn to the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus. True God and true man. True man, so that He could pay our penalty for sin. True God, so that He could pay the world's penalty for sin. True man, so that He could suffer and die in our place. True God, so that His suffering and death would be sufficient payment for all people, for all sin, for all time. Jesus is forsaken on Calvary's cross, suspended between heaven and earth, stripped naked, shamed, and humiliated. He cries out, cut off from God. This is a profound mystery that our simple brains and hearts can never fully comprehend. But as with any mystery, we cling to it and we appreciate it. Jesus is forsaken by His Father. Why? So that you are guaranteed that in Christ you will never be forsaken. When God says to you, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, these are not just pious words, some pie in the sky kind of promise. This is not theory. This is not concept. This is real. It is as real as the scars in the hands and feet and side of Jesus. It is as real as His holy, innocent blood shed for you. It is as real as His victory over sin, death, and the grave for you. Christ is forsaken this day, so that you will never, ever, ever be forsaken. Christ guarantees it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the Scripture, I thirst. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ, we sing.
Jesus.
Amen.
The crucifixion was not a charade. Jesus, true God, incapable of thirst, suffering, or death, was also true man. And as a man, Christ felt the pangs of hunger and thirst. He knew weariness and sorrow. The suffering of Christ was real and profound. In fact, it was a greater suffering than that any man had ever known. The crucifixion was not a sham. It was not a divine sleight of hand. Christ really suffered. He really thirsted. He felt the pain of the thorns, the whip, and the nails. His suffering and death was real, and therefore, His sacrifice in your place is real. His atonement is real. His forgiveness for you is real. I thirst was not mere words. Jesus actually and truly thirsted. And there is more to these words. Jesus is the source of the water of life. Remember, He said to the Samaritan woman, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." How then could the source of water, the source of eternal life, thirst? Though He was God, Jesus emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus drank the bitter cup of death that should have been our cup. He drank it to its dregs. He allowed Himself to be bled dry for our sakes. I thirst. God, who is incapable of need, suffered all human need in our place. He hungered and thirsted for us. He became the embodiment of all human lack, of all need and poverty, of all unfulfilled longing and desire. And in exchange, He gave us the overflowing cup of His blood for the forgiveness of all our sins. We, who once thirsted, have been placed under the life-giving water of baptism, the saving flood without measure. By His wounds, we are healed. By His thirst, we may now drink freely from the water of life. By His death, we have eternal life. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Tetelestai. It is finished. One word. What is finished? God established the system of sacrifices in the Old Testament, not simply to keep people busy, but to point people forward. To point people forward to something bigger, something better. There were millions and millions of sheep and goats and pigeons and doves that were sacrificed. The blood would flow freely, but it was never done. It was never finished. Day after day, week after week, year after year, these sacrifices were offered up to God. Again and again and again. It was never done. It was never complete. It was never finished. All of those sacrifices pointed forward to something bigger, to something better. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus as he walked along the Jordan River bank. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What is finished? Your salvation. Jesus Christ through His perfect life. Jesus Christ through His obedient death. Jesus Christ through His glorious resurrection has completed everything necessary for your salvation. God's Word says, again and again and again, Christ died once and for all. One time. A one-time offering of the God-man Jesus. For all. For all sin, for all people, for all time. Hear today what that means. For all people means for you. For all sin means for your sin. For all time means for everything that you have ever done in the past. For any sin that you are struggling with right now. and for any sin that you could possibly dream up or commit in the future. It is finished. It is done. It is accomplished. It is complete. We are people who tend to make lists, either on paper or in our mind. We live our lives in a routine. We go through the motions. It's never done. It's never complete. This is how we live our life. My friends, something is done. Something is complete. Something is finished. And it's not just the littlest thing on your checklist. Your salvation is complete because of the person, true God, true man, and the work, sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus. It is finished. It is complete. It is accomplished for you. Amen.
According to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Jesus. Amen. Jesus teaches us many things. The last words spoken from the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He teaches every baptized Christian how to die. He teaches us that we are in the Father's hand and that nothing or no one can snatch us out. He teaches us that when our final hour comes, we can trust that death is but a portal to take us from this veil of tears to eternity with Him, to the mansion prepared for us since the beginning of time. This is absolutely, certainly true, but it's so much more. God's Word, Christianity, our faith is more than just when we die. These words teach us how to live. How to live each day as we wake up each day in a world full of sin, full of trial, full of temptation, in a world where nothing seems to be certain, in a world where we do not know how the reality of sin will reach up and bite us yet again. God teaches us how to live. How to live each day in the Lord. Each day as we wake up to commit our lives to the hands, the nail-scarred hands of Christ. Christ, who forgives us even though we don't know what we're doing. Christ, who promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Christ, who knows our hurt, our pain, our thirst. Christ, who has fulfilled the law for us. Christ, who promises that when we die, not next week, next year, or in 1,000 years, but today, we will be with Him in paradise. Christ says, I am with you. I am with you each and every step of the way. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. None of us knows how many days we have left on this side of heaven. Maybe a few. Maybe a few hundred. It may be a few thousand. We don't know. And in the midst of that uncertainty, God gives us a clear certainty. He is with us. And that gives us the confidence that we can live each day. And we can even die, knowing that we are in God's hands and that nothing or no one can snatch us out. My friends, God has given you His Word. His Word to cling to. His Word to live by. Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. May that prayer be on our lips today and always. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We continue now with our hymn of reflection, 451, Christ who was smitten, stricken, and afflicted for us.
fellowship at the end of each row. Welcome. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship. Special worship, welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of Jesus for you would be yours today and always. We worship God with our gifts and offerings.
My dying Lord is like the Lamb, gently led away, yielding to the tyrant's rod. Jesus is the Lamb of God, my shepherd. My dying Lord is like a rose, so beautiful to see. Lovely midst the darkest gloom, Jesus is the rarest bloom. The richest fragrance He My dying Lord is like the rain, quenching every drought, satisfying from within. Washing darkness out. My dying Lord is like a lamb, gently led
sing hymn 453.
stand for prayer.
Let us pray for the whole Christian church, that our Lord God would defend her against all the assaults and temptations of the adversary, and keep her perpetually on the true foundation, Jesus Christ.
Almighty and everlasting God, since You have revealed Your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ and in the word of His truth, keep, we ask You, in safety the works of Your mercy, so that Your church, spread throughout all the nations, may be defended against the adversary and may serve You in true faith and persevere in the confession of Your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all the ministers of the Word, for all vocations in the church, and for all the people of God.
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, receive the supplications and prayers which we offer before You for all Your servants in Your holy church, that every member of the same may truly serve You according to Your calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
O merciful Father in heaven, because You hold in Your hand all the might of man, and because You have ordained for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do well, all the powers that exist in the nations of the world, we humbly pray You graciously to regard Your servants, especially our President, the Congress of the United States, our Governor, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that all who receive the sword as Your ministers may bear it according to Your word. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray our Lord God Almighty that He would deliver the world from all error, take away disease, ward off famine, set free those in bondage, grant health to the sick, and a safe journey to all who travel.
Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak, may the prayers of those who in any tribulation or distress cry to You graciously come before You, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in Your manifold help and comfort. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all who are outside the church, that our Lord God would be pleased to deliver them from their error, call them to faith in the true and living God and His only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and gather them into His family, the church.
Almighty and everlasting God, because You seek not the death, but the life of all, hear our prayers for all who have no right knowledge of You. Free them from their error, and for the glory of Your name, bring them into the fellowship of Your holy church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for peace, that we may come to the knowledge of God's holy word and walk before Him as is fitting for Christians.
Almighty and everlasting God, King of glory and Lord of heaven and earth, by whose Spirit all things are governed, by whose providence all things are ordered, the God of peace and the author of all concord, grant us, we implore You, Your heavenly peace and concord, that we may serve You in true fear, to the praise and glory of Your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for our enemies, that God would remember them in mercy and graciously grant them such things as are both needful for them and profitable for their salvation.
O Almighty, everlasting God, through Your only Son, our blessed Lord, You have commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly implore You that by Your gracious invitation all our enemies may be led to true repentance and may have the same love and be of one accord in one mind and heart with us and with Your whole Christian church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for the fruits of the earth, that God would send down His blessing upon them and graciously dispose our hearts to enjoy them according to His own good will.
O Lord, Father Almighty, By your word you created, and you continue to bless and uphold all things. We pray you so to reveal to us your word, our Lord Jesus Christ, that, through his dwelling in our hearts, we may by your grace be made ready to receive your blessing on all the fruits of the earth and whatsoever pertains to our bodily need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Finally, let us pray for all those things for which our Lord would have us ask, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.